Welcome to the Bone Coach Show, dedicated to helping you understand all things related to diet, lifestyle, bone health, and how you can live and thrive with low bone density and osteoporosis. I'm your host, Kevin Ellis, certified health coach, health and wellness speaker, and above all else, your bone coach. After being diagnosed with osteoporosis in my early 30s, I transformed my health through diet and lifestyle and now help my clients and community members do the same through my online coaching practice, BoneCoach.com. Look, there are no quick and easy cures for low bone density, but the choices we make every single day can have a powerful impact on our bones, our health, and our general well-being. I'll share the research, interview the experts, and help you figure out how to get the conditions right in your body so you can better your bones through diet and lifestyle. Short disclaimer, I'm not a medical doctor, and this show should not be considered medical advice. Always consult with your healthcare team before making medical decisions and changes to your diet and lifestyle. With that being said, let's get on with the show.
Estrogen preserving bone, progesterone building bone, testosterone strengthening bone. You need all three. Now there are other hormones as well, and this is really where, you know, your diet, your nutrition, your sleep, your lifestyle comes into play, and that's cortisol. Cortisol breaks down bone, and DHEA builds bone. So estrogen, progesterone balance each other. Cortisol, DHEA balance each other. And I see a lot of stressed out women and men too. And I see if the cortisol's up, the other hormones are down. And you ladies who think, you know, I'm gaining weight, just give me thyroid hormone so I can increase my metabolism. Well, if you give too much and you suppress TSH, which is the precursor that tells your thyroid to make thyroid hormone, if you suppress it too much, you're gonna lose bone.
If you haven't done so already, especially if you're newly diagnosed with osteopenia or osteoporosis, or if your most recent bone density scan still showed more bone loss, go ahead and pause this episode and head over to BoneCoach.com to sign up for your free 7-day osteoporosis kickstart guide. That's going to give you everything you need step by step by step over the next 7 days to get on the path to improvement and stronger bones. You won't want to miss that. So pause this right now. Head over to BoneCoach.com and I'll be here as soon as you get back. Welcome to this episode of the Bone Coach Show. Joining us today to explore how to revitalize your bones with the surprising hormone treatment for osteoporosis is Dr. Lorraine Mehta, MD. Dr. Lorraine is the hormone harmonizer and detoxifier, specializing in helping you have boundless energy, stable moods, a lean body, sharp, clear mind, strong bones, and balanced hormones so you can feel like yourself again. She helps you understand how your lifestyle choices impact your mind and body so you can choose what makes you feel great. As a triple board certified and award-winning physician, writer, author, and speaker, her own struggles with hormone imbalance prompted her to become board certified in anti-aging regenerative and functional medicine and advanced endocrinology. Her programs impacted over 120,000 people in each of three Fortune 100 companies where she served as chief medical officer or medical director of global health services, as well as thousands in her private practice. Her patients call her a miracle worker, a revolutionary doctor, a warm and caring medical professional who really listened, and is extremely smart. Words cannot express how grateful I am to Dr. Mehta for turning my life around, feeling 20 years younger. And this is what her patients say about working with her. So aging is inevitable, but suffering is optional. Be good to yourself. Get the support you need at Dr. Lorraine's site, which is the Feel Good Again Institute. .com. Dr. Lorraine, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me, Kevin. You know, this is a subject near and dear to my heart, right?
It's so important. I mean, the topic we're talking about today is revitalizing your bones, surprising hormone treatment for osteoporosis. Hormones play such an important role in our health and our bones. And I want to talk about something that is probably on the top of a lot of people's minds when they're going down the path of figuring out what's the right approach for me with my bones. What are the right treatment options out there? And one that they have questions about oftentimes is hormone replacement therapy. So maybe you could, let's start out with what is hormone replacement therapy? And then we can talk about why has it fallen out of favor for a lot of practitioners that are out there, that when a patient is going into that office, they may get a sense that it's not the right approach for them. So let's touch on that.
Sure. Well, every woman and even men actually go through hormonal changes. The way we age is we burn, we brown, we rust, our hormones decline, our mitochondria get sick and tired and old and don't function well. So when we start losing our hormones and the hormones decline, or certain hormones that break down bone go up, we start to lose bone. And certain periods in a woman's life, I think you mainly have an audience full of women, we go through the four P's: puberty, postpartum, perimenopause, and postmenopause. And bone loss can happen early in puberty. It can happen in perimenopause, and it can happen in postmenopause. It's less likely postpartum or during pregnancy. But when a hormone is out of balance, you need to replace the hormone that's too low. So we like to use natural bioidentical hormones because that's what your body knows. That's what your body recognizes. And whenever I choose any treatment for a patient, I'd like to do something that treats more than one thing. And I do think that people have a very, very limited view of what hormones are and what hormone replacement therapy does. But not only does it help your bones, I'm going to talk about estrogen, progesterone, and testosterone. There are other hormones, but these are the ones that scare women. And they think either it's not for them or it's dangerous, but these are extraordinarily important for bones. It's like baking a cake. If you leave out one ingredient, it's going to be a flop. And hormones are a very big ingredient for the cake, for your bones. So whenever, like, for example, in perimenopause, women still make estrogen, but they don't make progesterone. And they'll get wild mood swings. They'll get irregular periods, skip periods, shorter periods, longer periods, heavier periods. It's all over the place. So are their moods. But progesterone is low. Estrogen, it could be normal, high, or low. And hormone replacement therapy during that period of time would be progesterone, right? Some women start to lose testosterone then. And natural bioidentical hormones are the same chemical structure as your body. When women move into menopause, both estrogen and progesterone are low, and in 80% of females, testosterone is low. So what we do is we take whatever your body is missing and give it back to the body. And I use an analogy. If you had insulin-dependent diabetes, you would take insulin because your body is missing that essential piece. If you had no thyroid hormone, we would take thyroid hormone. They see them as life-saving. Estrogen, progesterone, testosterone, the narrow view of that is that they're only good for reproduction. And that is furthest from the truth. They help your brain. They help your bones. They help your cardiovascular system. You have receptors for these hormones in your eyes, in your kidneys, in your blood vessels, in your heart, even in your mitochondria. So they have widespread effects. And when you're missing them, you really grow older faster. And that's what hormone replacement therapy is to take what's missing and add it back.
Wonderful. And when someone is in a conversation with their doctor and they're discussing hormone replacement therapy, why would there be fear or, you know, a feeling of potential consequences if they go that path?
Well, this all dates back to the biggest study on hormones, which was the Women's Health Initiative done in 2002, right? This was old. I was there. I was giving hormones long before that study. So I'm a lot older than I look. But the hormones, that study had so many women get off their hormones. And if I was giving hormones for bone, and it was the treatment of choice in the 80s and 90s when I was recommending it, when I was prescribing it. That was the treatment, right? So what happened during the Women's Health Initiative, and you have to understand that studies are designed to show one thing, and they extrapolate so much other information from those studies, but that was designed to see how long past menopause can you give hormones and have an effect, right? But that's not really the most important thing. It's when the timing hypothesis. So when they did that study and there was an increased risk of heart disease and stroke, and I'll talk a little bit about the thought about an increased risk of breast cancer, it fell out of favor because of side effects. They felt, oh my God, these side effects are awful. Let's find an alternative because we can't increase the risk. So fast forward, you know, there are better ways to analyze the studies. This was hijacked by the press. They came out with increased risk of heart attack and stroke, and they took it and ran with it. And nobody, no matter what they said, could stop that flood of misinformation, right? We have this now, but there are studies after studies after studies that are newer that say hormones, the benefits outweigh the risk. So when it comes to heart attack and stroke, the way you give the hormone makes a difference. If you take estrogen by mouth, you know, orally, a pill, it will go through the liver and the liver will make clotting factors. And clots can lodge anywhere. If they lodge in your heart, you get a heart attack. If they lodge in your brain, you get a stroke. You can completely eliminate that risk. We have to say the risk is negligible because people who are not on hormones can get a heart attack and stroke and clots, and people on hormones can if they take it the wrong way. But the study after study showed the risk, if you give estrogen through the skin, the risk of clots is negligible, okay? So it's almost nothing, right? Now, progesterone, that term is misused so much in the press. And that's why I study the study so you don't have to. And anytime you look at the study, who is the population? When was it done? And what form of hormones did they use? How did they give it? So the press and any article where you see a headline will call progesterone, progesterone, when it's the synthetic progestin that they used. So when you look at the natural bioidentical progesterone versus the synthetic progesterone, they are vastly different. And I use the analogy, it's like the difference between a trans fat and an omega-3 fat. There's a difference, right? We know there's a difference, and we know their effects are different. Fat is not fat, so hormones are not hormones. So when you look at natural bioidentical progesterone, you have less of a risk of clots, you have less of a risk of gallbladder disease, less of a risk of cancer. They've done those studies with the natural bioidentical progesterone, much less risk of cancer. Just remember, women not on hormones get cancer, women on hormones can get cancer because it's a whole compilation of things that cause it. So natural bioidentical progesterone relaxes the arteries in the heart, the synthetic constricts them. There are so many other little differences between that. So that's really where what you give and how you give it matters. And whenever you see that headline about hormones or what kind of hormones, right? So how you give it, when you give it matters. And when it comes to the risk of breast cancer, you have to realize we in studies, you compare a control group to a group that is on the hormone, right? And the control group should reflect what's in the normal population, right? This is the incidence, you know, these days, I think it's 1 in 8 women will develop breast cancer. And these are also women on hormones or not on hormones. When they chose the control group, I mean, they don't always have control of the control group. All they're going to say is, they're not on hormones, and we're going to compare it to the group on hormones. They actually had a lower risk of breast cancer than what was in the normal population. So it appeared lower. And when the study was done, the hormone group had the same risk of the general population, but it was higher than the control group. So it inflated the risk, and there were only 8 more cases. And that's really negligible in the great scheme of things when women are suffering. So that became a fear factor. And all us health professionals, we take an oath, do no harm. So when you hear heart attack, stroke, cancer, everybody just stopped giving the hormones. And women were miserable. Absolutely miserable. And I was there during that study, and every woman I encountered, oh my God, where they were suffering, and they were suffering big time. So fast forward, North American Menopause Society and 20 other organizations looked at the studies, analyzed the studies, looked at subpopulations, looked at the new studies, and said, you know what? We changed our tune. The benefits outweigh the risk. If you're less than 10 years past menopause, if you're under the age of 60, the sooner you start it, the better. It affects the quality of your life. Case closed.
And what is the evidence that supports the use of hormone replacement therapy for the treatment of osteoporosis?
Well, it's been used for years. And the reason why I was so happy you asked me to be on this podcast is I've been doing this for 40 years, right? And I was absolutely incensed when I sent one of my patients to a bone specialist and he brushed her off and said, hormones don't work. It's like, what? I have been following women on hormones, measuring DEXA scan, measuring bone markers for 40 years. And I see the change. And the studies support that there's 20 to 40% decreased risk of fracture with women on hormones. So for somebody to just brush that off, you know, it had me incensed. So of course I redid and relooked at all the studies and it's like, oh my God, there's so much evidence here. There's study after study after study. But again, you have to know what dose, what's the timing. You wait till you have bone loss and then you give the hormones, you're not gonna have as good an effect as if you did it earlier. So there's a tremendous amount of evidence out there that hormone replacement therapy decreases the risk of fractures, it increases bone density, and even increases bone strength. So there's the evidence is there. And I gave a whole list of studies to show him and said, you know, listen, if he wants to talk to me, I educate doctors all the time and I will, you know, I go toe to toe and in a nice way, because I know when I practice you know, with 7 to 10 minutes per person, you just do what you know, boom, 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 what you learned. And some people don't continue to learn. They just do what's the standard of care. And it takes 10 to 20 years to change that standard. So I'm ahead of the curve and I always want to be ahead of the curve. And I never stop learning or studying or analyzing because, you know, we need to take care of ourselves and we need to know what the best and what the safest approach is.
Completely agree with you. And I would say too, maybe we can help people understand what do the doses look like for different hormones too? I mean, are these higher doses? Are they certain amounts? Are we wanting to stay within certain parameters?
Well, nobody knows the exact dose that is the most effective because they haven't studied that. However, all the studies across the board, you can't always compare them. They still, regardless of the dose, even low dose, because everybody thinks more is better. No, when they did a study on lower dose hormones, they had just as good results. So it's not necessarily the dose. It's how do you minimize the side effects by the timing, the form, because we know that you get the most benefits. The sooner you start, the better. Under age 60, before you're 10 years past menopause. That's pretty clear. So the dose doesn't seem to affect the preservation of bone and even the growth of bone because I see it all the time. I see bone grow. It's like fertilizer, right?
Well, maybe we can talk about then the timing and the forms of hormones as well.
Yes. So estrogen must be given through the skin in order to decrease the risk of clots. And there's also vaginal estrogen, but the ones that are most used are patches and gels. And they're made by pharmaceutical companies because some people don't trust compounding pharmacies, but they have their own regulatory boards. And I worked with compounding pharmacists since I was an intern, and I thought it was normal. I didn't know it was special because I worked in New York City in the midst of an AIDS epidemic and with cancer patients, and they couldn't swallow pills, and we had to find different ways of getting them stuff. So we would go on rounds in the ICU and even in the wards with a compounding pharmacist. It's like, okay, this person has sores in their mouth. They can't swallow pills. They have radiation esophagitis. What do we do? They would make something. So to me, that was normal and it worked and I trusted them. And I got to know many compounding pharmacies. And believe me, if there was a problem, My phone would ring off the hook if there was a problem. So there are bioidentical hormones made by pharma. So if you don't trust, some don't trust pharma and some don't trust the compounders, but you have choice. So I have some patients, it's no, I want it. I want it compounded. I want no fillers. So estrogen has to be given through the skin. And sometimes if I need a very low dose, I will have it compounded and that can be made into a cream. So everything in terms of estrogen has to go through the skin and not oral and not swallowed. And also some people give troches, which is like something that you put in your mouth and you let it melt behind in your cheek, but just swallow some. So I'm not a fan of troches. Plus you have to wait for them to melt and they don't taste so good. So I like convenience and I like ease. And I also tend to give estrogen through pharma because it's covered by insurance, as long as somebody's not sensitive to peanut oil, because progesterone is made in peanut oil and some generics, well, the brand had a red dye in it. A lot of the generics don't. So I have to take into account people's sensitivities. Now, progesterone, it has a lot of advantages when given orally, because during perimenopause and menopause, women get anxiety and they can't sleep. Those are main symptoms, big symptoms and very common symptoms of perimenopause and menopause. When you give estrogen orally, which in a pill form at bedtime, you get the best sleep of your life. And it quells anxiety. Women are kissing my feet when I give them progesterone, really. So there's a small subset of people that they might get too tired with oral, or some might get headaches or bad dreams. And this is a very small fraction. I will have it compounded into a cream. It's just, you can't measure progesterone cream in blood tests. So I try to be cost effective for women. If you have to measure progesterone cream, you have to measure it in saliva. So that's out of pocket. Insurance won't pay for it. But there's different strokes for different folks. So that's the benefit of having personalized medicine. Because if you can't take something, we find a way to get it into you in a safe, effective, and cost-effective way.
And any considerations with progesterone in a woman that does not have a uterus?
Well, that's a big one because progesterone is very important for bone growth. And it's a common theme, which is why I wanted people to realize you have receptors. Wherever you have an estrogen receptor, you have a progesterone receptor. You need balance. Our hormones are all about balance. You have one, estrogen's a gas pedal, progesterone's a brake, right? So you have it in your brain, your bones, your heart, your blood vessels, your uterus, your breasts, your skin, right? So there's common theme when women didn't have a uterus. The OBGYNs, who, God bless them, they want to do the best they can, but they're not trained in this. And they all admit it. They're not trained in this. And they are not trained in how to deal with these hormone changes. They just know how to give the pill and how to give, they could give standard doses of things, but they don't know how to tailor it. So if a woman doesn't have a uterus and they're just given estrogen, they're going to be like a teenager with PMS. And they're going to have what they call estrogen dominance because they don't have the balancing. They have the gas pedal and no brake. So they get too much energy and growth, which is anxiety, irritability, impatience, insomnia, growth of the breast, cysts of the breast, tender breasts. The uterine lining grows and you get bleeding, you get spotting. Well, when they had a hysterectomy, you're not going to get the bleeding, but you're going to get all those other things. But if you don't have progesterone, all those other areas that are stimulated by estrogen and have no calming effect of progesterone, they're not going to be balanced. You're going to be out of balance. And same thing with bone. And that's the surprising part of hormones. People only think of estrogen as being necessary for bone growth. But you know what? There are some women who have PCOS, polycystic ovarian syndrome, or cycles where they don't ovulate, or they have missed periods or skip periods, well, they make estrogen. It's easy for the ovaries to make estrogen. It's just not as easy for the eggs to ripen and to burst out and ovulate and have that corpus luteum to make progesterone. So what they found is that women who have, they call anovulatory cycles, whereas they didn't ripen an egg and create that corpus luteum and they didn't make progesterone, they had increased bone loss. And this happens in the women who have PCOS and ovulatory cycles. And perimenopause, which can precede menopause by up to 10 years or even more. I mean, mine lasted 10 years. It was not easy. I got to give myself hormones, right? So you start to lose bone in 10 years before menopause. People only start to think about their bone when they hit menopause, but you got to think about it sooner, because adding that little bit of progesterone, that fosters the growth of the cells that make bone, the osteoblasts. So without that, wow, you know, you're missing a big piece of the puzzle. You're missing something for that bone cake to make the bone. And you have to start early. And women, believe me, they're miserable in perimenopause. I mean, I had a woman come to me and said, my husband said I'm unbearable. And she went to 8 doctors and everybody wanted to either drug her or dismiss her. And when she came to me, I told her, this is perimenopause. She literally burst out in tears and said, why didn't anybody tell me that? They all think I'm crazy and, you know, a moody capital B. I'm not going to say it, right? And that's not the case. So, you know, I say perimenopause is like a woman being in a rowboat in rough seas, being bounced around with no oars and no directions, and they're out of control and they feel out of control and they feel guilty and they don't feel like themselves. And I know during my perimenopause, people told me my personality changed. I wasn't sleeping. I was tired. I was irritable. I was losing my hair. I was gaining weight. And you know, you'd walk into a room and they'd be like, oh, what kind of mood is she in, right? So once I realized that it was perimenopause and I took progesterone, oh, the clouds parted. The sun came through. I felt like $1 million. I felt like myself. I slept. I was calm. I didn't have that irritability. So progesterone is extraordinarily important for bone growth, just as much as estrogen. So that means you have to get attention earlier. And if you're missing periods and skipping periods and have PCOS even earlier, bone growth has to occur before, you know, like in your teens and 20s, right?
Yeah, and that's so important too. And so for our audience, a lot of the women in our audience are in menopause or, you know, postmenopausal. And you may be listening to this. If you're listening to this right now and you're like, gosh, you know what? I have a daughter and I have a daughter-in-law or someone else that's younger going through this right now, share this episode with them so they can hear this and understand maybe some of the things that are taking place right now, maybe some of the preventative things that they can be doing or considering early on, because that can really help add an extra 10, 20 years of better quality life. If we can preserve that bone earlier too, that can be a fantastic thing. So you can build bone with, you know, doing all the right things, the diet, nutrition, the hormones, all those pieces. And you can do that at just about any age. But the more we can be on the side of prevention than reaction, the better we're going to set ourselves up for in the future. So we've talked about estrogen. We talked about progesterone. What other hormones play into the bone health picture, or even just our general health too, that we need to be considering?
Well, testosterone. Testosterone, again, it acts on your brain. It's anti-anxiety. It's anti-depression. It strengthens bone. And when they saw women who had low testosterone, they correlated with low bone. Estrogen preserving bone, progesterone building bone, testosterone strengthening bone. You need all three. Now there are other hormones as well. And this is really where, you know, your diet, your nutrition, your sleep, your lifestyle comes into play. And that's cortisol. Cortisol breaks down bone, right? And DHEA builds bone. So estrogen, progesterone balance each other. Cortisol, DHEA balance each other. And I see a lot of stressed out women and men too. And I see if the cortisol's up, the other hormones are down. And you ladies who think, you know, I'm gaining weight, just give me thyroid hormones so I can increase my metabolism. Well, if you give too much and you suppress TSH, which is the precursor that tells your thyroid to make thyroid hormone, if you suppress it too much, you're going to lose bone. You have to have some TSH because it helps with bone. So you can't have it too, it's just every Goldilocks thing. You can't have any hormone too high, too low. And cortisol is mostly modulated by your lifestyle and your attitude, you know, distress. And we have to expand that definition because everybody thinks stress is worry. No, distress. Your body doesn't know the difference between you're sitting on attack or you're worried about your children, right? It's going to pump out the same hormones. So distress can be physical, pain, heat, cold, hot flashes, night sweats. It could be chemical, hormone imbalances, nutritional excess, nutritional deficiency, autoimmune disorders, and it could be emotional, anxiety, depression, worry. Now, all these hormones are neuromodulators. They affect your brain. They affect anxiety, depression, you know, and that's what's going to drive your behavior. So having balanced hormones, you're going to make better choices. And ladies in menopause, it's not too late. It's not too late. You know, I want to err on the side of prevention, but don't think just because you came too late that we can't change anything, because we can, and we do. And there's a studies to prove it. And I have 40 years experience that I just am grateful that I can help people.
I love that. And I know you're one of the best at what you do. And I want to make sure we tell people where they can find you in just a second, but I want to make sure we close out any other important things about hormones, supporting our health, important considerations that you want to share with the audience before.
Yeah, I just want people to know what you eat, what you drink, how much you sleep, how much you exercise, the stress you're under, the toxins you're exposed to, all affect your hormones. And you need the right digestive system to digest, absorb, get it into the cells, and also eliminate byproducts and toxins. So it all works together. You can't leave out any of those pieces. And, you know, you have your story, and it really is important for people to know. I'm, you know, you don't be fooled that if I just give you hormones, everything's going to be fine. You need the other systems working as well.
Absolutely agree with you. This has been a fantastic conversation. It was great to see you again too. And maybe we could share with everyone where they can find you. And I know you've got a quiz that we want to maybe have some people go to, and you've got a little course also. So that has a code for Bone Coach. Maybe you could share those resources with our audience and anywhere else.
You want to go to the feelgoodagaininstitute.com. So it has to have the in front of it and institute after it. Otherwise, you're going to get a drug rehab center. So, you know, and that will lead you to my medical part if you need that. I have a free female hormone quiz because you want to know which hormones are off, why are you feeling off? Why are you gaining weight, not sleeping? Which hormone is the most important to focus on? So that's easy. www.thefemalehormonequiz.com. And I wanted to give something special to the Bone Coach because Kevin is fantastic and I want your bones to be strong. So if you're worried and you don't know whether you want to go on hormones or not, understand not making a decision and not doing something is just as much as risk as doing something. So I have a course called www.hrtforyou.com. And I'm going to give the Bone Coach, all the Bone Coach audience, $50 off that course. If you just in capital letters, Bone Coach as a coupon code, because this will give you not only how to assess whether hormones are right for you, but what to expect. And I'm going to give you those studies. So you can show them to your doctor, because I converted a lot of doctors. and nutritionists and healthcare coaches and other healthcare practitioners. So armed with evidence, feel confident in your decision.
I love that. Thank you so much. And that's very generous of you as well to share with our audience. So what we'll do is we're going to link to all those resources down in the show notes that were mentioned today. And you can find Dr. Lorraine Mehta there in the show notes. And for everybody listening, I want to thank you again so much for your time. We'll see you in the next episode. Hope you found this episode of the Bone Coach Show helpful. You can find all the resources, show notes, everything mentioned over at bonecoach.com. If you enjoyed this episode and found it helpful, be sure to share it with someone you love, a friend, family member, even a group of people. And also be sure to hit that subscribe button so you never miss an episode that can help you improve your bones, your health, and your future. One last reminder, if you haven't done so already, head over to bonecoach.com. for more great resources to help you get on the path to stronger bones and an active future. I'm your Bone Coach, Kevin Ellis. I'll see you in the next episode.